Well, if you have been part of our church this last month, or whether watching online or in the building, you will know that our emphasis is on the Bible, on the scriptures. And I wonder if you've ever not thought about it too much and thought, well, the Bible is one book. It's one book. Well, actually, as we probably are aware, it's not actually one book. It's a whole heap of books. And they cover the entire gamut of human emotion and human experience. If you read the Bible, it's going to give you a worldview, but it's also going to give you songs to sing. It's going to give you history to look at. It's going to give you prose. There's even a love song in there. It's going to give you the story of life. And the interesting thing about the Bible is that it's written by people, inspired by God, but there's so much emotion in there. And what I find really fascinating as I read the Bible is that it seems to me that people are people. People are people, and what they do and how they react and how they question life has been perhaps different because of the circumstances, but you can still see the humanity that is written in this book. Perhaps you've wondered about what life is all about and why you're here for. What's the reason for your existence? Well, the Bible actually gives that to us. That's actually what it's for. It explores our emotions, it explores our spirituality, and it gives us answers for how to live our lives. For this next month at Inglewood Community Church, we're going to be like a bird flying over the books of the Bible and from a bird's eye view, looking at the whole of the scriptures and how it all fits together. Next week, Pastor Jess is going to be bringing God's word to us. The week after, Shannon is going to be bringing God's word to us, and I'm going to bring it home for the last week. But this week, we're basically going to look at the first six books of the Old Testament. And it's such an interesting thing to open up the Old Testament and to see what it's all about. It's the story of humanity from the very beginning, and also the story, of course, of the nation of Israel. The book of Genesis, the very first book in the Bible, the book of beginnings, the name actually means beginning, the creation of all things in the book of Genesis. And Genesis answers the question of where we came from. Chapter 1 and chapter 2, two different angles on the same story. Adam and Eve and the snake and the garden and sin and God hovering over creation. It's an incredible book. It's a fantastic book. The very first book of the Bible. When people have questions about why am I here? Why do I exist? What does this all mean? Genesis actually brings the answers to those questions. A fun fact about the book of Genesis is it contains many of the very famous stories of the Bible. Adam and Eve, Noah, and the flood. And it ends with the people of Israel really about to go into Egypt and perhaps into slavery. And the nation of Israel starts with Genesis 12 and Genesis 15 with the calling of Abraham. And God comes and he speaks to Abraham and he says, from you is going to come a great nation, the nation of Israel. And so much of the Old Testament is going to be dominated by the stories of the people of Israel. And Abraham's descendants find themselves in a situation where they're really hungry. All the food has dried up, and so they need to go to Egypt. And in Egypt, they find a safe place. They find a great place, but it's not the promised land. Then we get to Exodus, and Exodus literally means exit. And it's the story of how the people of Israel come out of Egypt and escape that land. And it comes with a story of the promise of the promised land and a better place. And there's an aching inside of you for a better place. There is things about your life which you don't like and which you wish were different. And that is being human. That's what being human is like. And there are times you feel like you need to escape, and perhaps you do. Perhaps there are some things that you need to leave behind. Exodus is the story of a nation and of a people that find that they need to escape. They need to get out. Fun fact about Exodus is that when they left the nation of Egypt and went into the desert, there was perhaps 3 to 4 million of them that left Egypt. Can you imagine that? I wonder if you ever read the story and thought there were so many. And of course, Exodus is the story of Moses. And Moses is a very key figure in the scriptures. Another key, or maybe fun fact, about Moses. Do you know this? About 1/7 of the Bible deals with the story of Moses. He's a very important figure in the nation of Israel's history and in fact in the Bible. And we see him mentioned in the New Testament. 1/7 of the scriptures has to do with Moses. Then we get to Leviticus. And Leviticus is the sort of book that, you know, if we're flying like a bird over the Bible, perhaps we've tended to just fly straight over Leviticus because there's so much in there. And it's all about rules and regulations. As the people of Israel find themselves wandering in the desert, God needs to give them some hygiene lessons and also some spiritual lessons about how to live together while you're camping. Ever been camping? There are rules you need when you're camping just to keep the camp safe. Can you imagine traveling with 3 to 4 million people? But it's more than just hygiene. It's also about holiness and being set apart. It's actually a very interesting book if you dive into it, but it's a deep book and it's a very deep dive. Then, of course, we get to Deuteronomy and Numbers and Deuteronomy. Numbers is a book about how God's people have let him down. It's a story about how the people of Israel let God down and they disappointed him. And it's a book about how much of a struggle sometimes it can be to connect with God. And I wonder if you've ever struggled with connecting with God and with how do you be close to God? How do you maintain a relationship with God? Deuteronomy, of course, a beautiful book. And a fun fact about Deuteronomy is if you've been a part of our church, hopefully you would have at some stage received a wristband, one of these wristbands. And on that wristband is the phrase, love the Lord your God. And Deuteronomy is full of stories about how we connect with God and how you love God. And do you know, it answers the great question, what are you here for? Why do you exist? What is your meaning and your purpose in life? Surely there is more to life than just gathering wealth and just making yourself comfortable. Deuteronomy gives you the purpose for life, to love the Lord your God. That's actually the reason you exist. That's actually the reason you are here. It's not about you. That's a hard lesson. But life is not about you. As we get towards the end of Deuteronomy, we find Moses really being in a place where he has let God down at some point, maybe 2 or 3 points, called the most humble man that's ever lived, an incredible leader. His job, his task that God gave him was to get the people out of Egypt, out of slavery. But it wasn't going to be his role to lead the people into the promised land. The promised land was what they were looking for, but he wasn't going to take them in there. And as we get to the end of Deuteronomy, we basically find that Moses is not going to enter into the promised land. And so he's giving a final speech, final talk, final words that he's going to give his people. We're going to come back to a little bit of that in a moment. So we get to Joshua. And Joshua is the young leader, and he's going to take the people into the land, into the promised land. And it's a fantastic book about God's miracles and the walls coming down and about how the people are finally going to conquer the enemy that they were so afraid of. And it's a great reminder to you that no matter what you are facing in life, God is there with you. And it will be through his power, through what he does in your life, that will be what gets you through. Joshua and the people of Israel come to understand, yeah, there are giants in the land and there are things which I just can't defeat. Ever been in that position where you've been facing something in your life and I just can't defeat it? Joshua reminds us that if we stay with God and we give him the glory and we say, Lord, help me, I can't do this myself, God will come through for you. A fun fact about the book of Joshua is the last few chapters are pretty much about divvying up the real estate. Because what happens in the story is that the people of Israel get into the promised land, which is amazing. You know, God takes them in there. And then towards the end of the book, they're all concerned about, okay, where's my place? Where am I going to live? Where's going to be my spot in the promised land? And perhaps it reminds us that if we're honest, so very often you scratch us enough, we're concerned about ourselves and we're concerned about our own lives. And the Bible recognizes that. And Joshua has to lead the people through that. It's an amazing start to the history of humanity, those first books. And I would encourage you to read them. As Noel has already shared with us, we have a reading plan, which we've emailed, which we're going to email out to you. It's also on the church website. So you can go to the church website, look up Bible reading plan. It's on the right-hand side of the screen. Just click on it. And I'll give you a Bible reading plan, which I would love you to read this week. Maybe that little, you know, overview. What I want you to do this week is be encouraged and have some information which you can go to, which interests you. And you can go and you can read those passages. I picked out a few different passages on the Bible reading plan. I'd love you to go and pick up your Bible tomorrow, Monday through to Saturday, and read through them. One chapter, two chapters, three chapters, whatever I put there, I reckon you can do it. And I reckon, wouldn't it be amazing if as a church, we discover this love for the Old Testament? So go, grab that reading plan tomorrow and start it and do it this week. That's what I'd love you to do. You know, Jesus, when he quotes the scriptures in the New Testament, when we have the stories of Jesus, he did not have the New Testament to quote from. When we find Jesus quoting and referencing the scriptures, he's talking about the Old Testament. That's what he's talking about. And the incredible thing about Jesus is as his story has been told in the New Testament, we can look back in the Old Testament and we can see Jesus from the very beginning. Genesis 3, verse 15, we have the promise of the Messiah. Adam and Eve are at their, you know, perhaps their worst spot. They've been kicked out of the garden. They've done the wrong thing. And God steps in and says, there will be a Messiah. There will be one who will come. And we see that in Genesis 3:15. Later on, Psalm 22, David writes, my God, why have you forsaken me? Where have you heard that before? You've heard it in the New Testament, because that's exactly what Jesus said on the cross. David's experience is so much larger than just his own life in that psalm. It's called a messianic psalm. Later on this month, Shannon is going to come and she's going to bring us a word, and I believe she's going to touch on some scriptures from Isaiah. You know Isaiah 53, the suffering servant. We have the prophecy of Jesus. And then we get to the last few books, the prophets in the books, and we see Jesus being mentioned. Daniel talks about the Messiah coming. In fact, the whole of the New Testament is actually the story of a people and a nation getting ready for Jesus to come. Because Jesus is all throughout the Bible. It's actually his story. So although we may see God working in different ways in the Old Testament as what we see in the New, it's the same God. And God is there, and his character, his love for you is in those pages. The love that God has for you is there. Deuteronomy. We're going to stop and we're going to fly down this morning. And if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me or you can just listen. But I want to, I'm doing something this week which they told us in Bible college we shouldn't do. They basically said to us as pastors and ministers, don't preach out of your own devotional time. And the reason they said that is a very good reason, is because you need to discover what God wants to say to the people. But this week I've been reading Deuteronomy. And in fact, these last little month or so. And I was reading Deuteronomy chapter 10, and I just a couple of thoughts around it this morning that I want to share with you, because God spoke to me through this passage. And he showed me something again afresh. It's an old story, but it's a story worth telling. I want you to understand something this morning about God's incredible love for you, that God is the God of second chances. And some of you watching and listening this morning, you know, you've messed up this week. You've done something that you wish you hadn't done. And you need to hear this simple message again. You need it. God is the God of second chances. I want you to be encouraged this week. Remember I told you about Moses? He went up the mountain. And when he was up in the mountain, in the cloud, God gave him the Ten Commandments. And if you've seen a bad Bible movie, you would have seen Charles Heston or whoever it was come down the mountain with the stone tablets. Most of the Bible wasn't actually written by God's hand. It was written and inspired by people who wrote down the words that the Holy Spirit inspired them to write. But the Ten Commandments were actually written by God himself. I don't reckon there was any spelling mistakes. And I reckon he had really neat handwriting. He wasn't a doctor. He might be the healer, but he was very neat. But I would love to see those two stone tablets that God wrote the Ten Commandments on. Unfortunately, when Moses got down from the mountain, he threw them to the ground. He was so angry because the people had made an idol. They had turned away from God so quickly. And they made an idol, and Moses is angry. And he shouldn't have been that angry, but he smashed those tablets. But this is the idea this morning, that God is a God of second chances. And in Deuteronomy chapter 10, we read, "At that time, the Lord said to me, chisel out two stone tablets like the first ones, like the first ones. Also, make up a wooden ark, a sacred chest to store them. Come up to me on the mountain, and I will write on the tablets the same words that are on the ones you smashed." God gives Moses a second chance. And he gives the people a second chance. And the story goes that Moses goes up the mountain, and he comes, and God gives him the tablets. And let me read to you from verse 10 of Deuteronomy 10. "As for me, I stayed on the mountain in the Lord's presence for 40 days and nights, as I had done the first time." Isn't that beautiful? Once again, the Lord listened to my pleas and agreed not to destroy you. Then the Lord said to me, "Get up and resume the journey, head to the promised land, and lead the people to the land I swore to give to their ancestors, so they may take possession of it." You know, God gave Moses a second chance. In fact, God gives Moses lots of chances. Jesus said once to his disciples, when they asked him the question, "How many times should I forgive?" And Jesus said, 70 times 7, which is a number representing infinity. God's love, God's forgiveness for you keeps on going. There does come a point where, you know, we're done with this life. We're done with sin. But until that time, every time you wake up is a new day. And no matter what you've done, even this week or even this morning, no matter the mistakes you've made in years gone by, I want you to get the message this morning. God is a God of the second chance. And God continues to, throughout the whole of the Old Testament, give his people another chance. And he forgives them. Sometimes when we've made a really bad, dumb decision and we've messed things up, there are consequences to those decisions. There are things that we can't change. Things are just the way they are. Sometimes the relationships can't be restored. Sometimes things can't be made to the way they were. Sometimes things are smashed and gone. But in terms of your spirit, in terms of your soul, in terms of your relationship with God, right now, that can be restored, no matter what you've done. Ask God for forgiveness. Ask him once again to make his presence known to you, and he will. And then God gives Moses a bit of a rev up. All right, you've been forgiven. You've been given a second chance. Now what? In verse 12, Deuteronomy chapter 10. "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? He requires only that you fear the Lord your God and live in a way that pleases him and love him and serve him with all your heart and soul. And you must also obey the Lord's commandments and decrees I'm giving you today for your own good. Look, the highest heavens and the earth and everything in it all belong to the Lord your God." Let's go back to Genesis, right? God made everything. He made you. "Yet the Lord chose your ancestors as the objects of his love, and he chose you, their descendants above all other nations, as is evident today. Therefore, change your hearts and stop being stubborn." God gives them a little bit of a whack there at the end. Stop doing what you're doing. Change. Be better. Do better tomorrow. All right, you messed up today. You messed up yesterday. Be better now. It's pretty much what he says. But you see, in the Old Testament, we have this picture of a people and a nation being chosen to be the objects of God's love. It's like if God had an iPhone, the nation of Israel would be his screensaver. That would be his screenshot. When he first opens up his phone, there would be a picture of the nation of Israel. Now, for you, as we live in New Testament times, and as Jesus has come, you are the object of God's love. When God wakes up in the morning, opens up his phone, there is a picture of you on that screen. Now, I know that's hard to comprehend because there are so many people and so many people that God loves. God loves the whole world. But it's actually true that your relationship with God is a very personal one. You are actually the object of His love. You think about yourself, and there are times you feel like I'm unlovable and I've messed up. How could God possibly care and love me? That's why I want you to read your Bible. That's why I want you to get into that reading plan, and I want you to open up the scriptures, because we all need that reminder again and again. What are the things I want you to know this morning and act on? I want you to know that God is the God of second chances. And however you've messed up, His forgiveness and His love for you is there. I want you to understand that today is a new day, and you are to love, and you are to respect, and you are to honor God. Your purpose in life is to love the Lord your God. And that comes through in the scriptures. He's made the whole world from the very beginning. He will lead you out of slavery. He will bring you into the promised land. And when you're there, He wants you to respect and honor Him, to serve Him, and to love Him. That is your purpose in life. It's been a great service. And as we come to the end of it, I do want to remind you again to go and to fill out that Connect form. If you haven't managed to grab it, it's on the church website. It's on Facebook and YouTube. You can grab it and click on it. Go and connect to our church. We'd love you to do that. We'd love you to be involved. Watch these spots, and we'll find out what we're doing next week. At this stage, it looks like we are going to be meeting together in the building wearing masks, as if everything stays the same. Look out for that. Be back in the building if you can. We'd love you to join us. In a couple of minutes, we're going to show again that wonderful and beautiful video that the worship team have put together. And I encourage you to put that on and turn it up and just watch it, maybe as you get your lunch ready or whatever else you're doing for the rest of the day. But right now, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray a benediction on you. And I pray God is with you this week. Father God, I pray for everyone watching and listening to this today. May they be aware of your Holy Spirit speaking to them in a very profound way. May you bless them and keep them. May there be healing, grace, forgiveness, peace, joy in every one of our homes. I pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.